this on? Okay, glory to God. It's such an honor to be here. Give the worship team a great hand clap. They did a marvelous job. Hallelujah. Thank you. Such a blessing and an honor to be at Harvest Church. I love the name of this church. I like Harvest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's such a blessing once again to be here. God's been so good and gracious. What I mean by being here, I've never been here personally, but I've been here in the spirit. Because you see, we're brothers and sisters. There may be an ocean between us, but that faith restores all distance between me and you. And it's the power of the Spirit of the Lord. But I always start my meetings off. How many of you watch our television show? Oh, you should watch it. It costs me millions of dollars. You'll go to hell if you don't watch that show. No, I didn't say. But God has been so good and gracious, and we've had a wonderful time here. We started off in Galway, Ireland. And I like that. They say, you know, top of the morning to you and the rest of the day to you. Thought that was funny myself. Praise God. Then we went over to Belfast, Ballymena, and then we've been in London for a few days. And then we're flying back to New Orleans tonight, actually this afternoon, because of the Mississippi River. Praise God. We got to get that fixed. Praise the Lord. But God has been so good and gracious. My wife is here. Do you have a microphone? Kathy, come on up and say a word for the Lord. This is Kathy, my wife. Give her a hand clap as she comes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Oh, it's truly an honor to be here. Jesse and I have been already so blessed by you wonderful people. Amen. Pastors are precious. The worship was amazing, and I know God has great things in store. You know, this is the seventh service of our tour, outreach that we're here in the European tour in UK. So this is a special time, right? Yeah. We're ready to enter in, and I believe that we're in the Spirit, and I was just thinking of the word that John wrote in the book of Revelation. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he heard and he saw some things. You know, John walked with Jesus. He's the one who says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He knew Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. He knew Jesus. But when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, there's a greater revelation. I believe God is pulling us up higher to a greater and stronger revelation of what he is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And how much he wants to do in each one of us, yes, through us, to help reach the world. And Jesse and I are committed to our vision, amen, which started 33 years ago, and that is to reach people and change lives, amen, one soul at a time.
Amen.
And we love people. We don't just love crowds. We love people. Amen. And we love you, and we trust that God has brought you here for a specific purpose, yes, and that you will see growth and strength come to your life today. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Give her a hand clap. That's Kathy. The Lord is so good. I did enjoy the worship. Someone asked me, when you want to go in? I said, yeah, let's go listen to them sing. Praise the Lord. I enjoy the blessing of the Lord. God has been so good and gracious to me. I mean that sincerely. You know, John Hagee. Y'all know John Hagee here?
Yeah.
John's a good friend of mine. He tagged me with a name years and years ago. Calls me the Apostle of Joy. Well, you know, I tried sad. I didn't like it. I tried sick. I didn't like that. That don't feel good. I tried broke. I ain't going to never do that again as long as I ever live. Hallelujah. But the Lord has been so good and gracious to us. We do have a book and tape table at the close of the service today. If you'd like to get some of those things, you'll be blessed by it and minister. Do you have some of those? What you said about tithing. You know, I have had, can I name some names? Benny Hinn, Joyce Myers, T.D. Jakes. Let me just drop some names here. I preach for all of them. Preach with all of them. My Lord. Who else? So many different ones. Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, over the years, R.W. Schambach, have asked me, all my ministry, Jesse, you just seem like nothing affects you. You know, in 33 years of full-time ministry, I've never had a financial deficit. Now, that's unheard of. Because, you know, Pastor, if you're going to do something for God, the devil, first thing is tax your money. Because, you know, if he can shut your money down, he can shut you down. I've never had a financial deficit. God is my witness. I mean, you're looking at one blessed puppy here. All right, now I want you to see this, you understand? And they've asked me why. And I tell them, because I'm a tither. Not here and now, once in a while. See, and I want to just say this and to go along with this brother's message. If you're not tithing to your church, you need to start. Well, I can't afford it. That's your problem. That's why you can't afford nothing. That's why you're struggling. Because, see, your tithe is your embassy. Now, let me explain that for a minute. If you go anywhere in the world and find the American embassy or find the British embassy, I don't care where it's at. I don't care what country it's in. It may be in Darfur, where people are dying by the millions and starving to death, famine. But in the embassy, there's food, water, electricity, shelter, because the source is not coming from the country it's in. It's coming from Britain or from the United States. See, and the way to live under an open-winded heaven is through tithing. It's my embassy.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? So I don't care if the world's going, well, what about the recession? We're not participating.
Amen.
We don't participate. I don't deny that it's here. But you see, it can't get into the embassy because it's not a citizen. It can't get inside where I'm at. My source is not what's around me. That's why I'm not affected. Ever. Because when I first started preaching, Benny, we went and preached at Jesus Festival in 1979, Parkersburg, West Virginia, and Benny was the day speaker and I was the night speaker. And I never forget, he may not remember that. This is years and years ago. I mean, he said, you just don't struggle. No, because you see, I realized that he's El Shaddai, not El Chipo. He blessed. Now, wait. Now, this is not my sermon. And he loves me. I'm his boy. I'm part of the family. He made me an offer. I couldn't refuse. You understand? And when you understand that, that's that embassy that protects you. And I mean, we don't care what the UK. Let me make an announcement about the United Kingdom. It's broke. Your government's broke. The United States of America is broke. It's all on borrowed money. So, and the only way they can get money is to tax you. You see what I'm saying? But if your source is not the government or your job, your source is God Almighty. And you ought to know, since you name your church Harvest, then what goes around, I mean, it's all around you, but not in the embassy.
Amen.
Now you think about that. No matter where. Because that source of that embassy is not the country that the embassy's in. Now in Iran, they don't like us in America. But you go into the American embassy, they like us. You see, because that's home. But, you know, they need to like us. Because the Iranians, I love them because they make the best Persian rugs you ever saw in your life. And I buy a lot of rugs and things. I want Persian rugs. They go, oh, you like rugs? I said, yes, I do. I want the Persian kind because they just know how to do it. Praise the Lord. It's better than China. Mark my words. Praise the Lord. It is. So I want to just kind of share that with our brother here when he was doing his teaching on the tithe. Because, you see, it's his money. And I want to tell you something, if you'll do what I just said, God will pay you more than anyone ever will.
Amen.
And it don't make no difference what you do. God will honor you and minister greatly to you. Now, brother, I was going to preach something, and you changed my sermon. So if this is bad, it's your fault. No. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I tell you, I said, Lord, I don't even have no notes on that. He said, it's in you. So I'm going to just go as the Holy Ghost speaks to me. Very familiar scripture. Most people know 2 Corinthians is right past 1 Corinthians. It's not a church split. It's a letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, let me just pick up my notes that I was going to preach on. Man, I just felt led of the Lord to do this. And because so many people, how many of you people could use some money? Anybody in here? Could use a little money. Okay. Now, if money is so bad, how come you work for it every week? Get mad if you don't get it. So evidently, it must not be bad. Because you live in an economic society. Now, let me tell you what God says about money. Everybody say money.
Money.
God says, not the church world, not the homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological world, or the secular world, God says money answereth all things. How many things?
All.
Why? Why does it have that power? Because It functions in an economic world. You notice that money is not in heaven. Money is not in Star Trek. Anybody ever saw Star Trek? Oh, yeah. How many? Anybody got any Trekkies in here? Are you a Trekkie? You really a Trekkie? I love Star Trek. I just enjoy it. I like space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Our five-year mission to seek out new life form. You know, I just get into it. I love Star Trek. Me and Kathy are Trekkies. Lord. And I was hearing that the other day, and I said, I'm going to write something up myself. Ministry, the final frontier. These are the voyages of Jesse the Planet's ministries. Our lifelong mission to seek out new souls for his glory and honor. To fill up new hearts with his presence and power. To preach and teach the uncompromised word of God. To boldly go where Jesus Christ tells us to go. Live long and prosper. Hey! Now let me find out if you're a real Trekkie. Because you see, I don't believe in the Kobayashi Maru. You know what that is? Oh, look at that. That's a Trekkie there. What do you mean that Kobe? I'm like James Tiberius Kirk. The Kobayashi Maru is the no-win scenario. I don't believe in that because I've already won. So there's no way I can lose. I read the end of the book. We win. So we're just passing through. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Are you there? Verse 1. I don't even know the title of this. We'll just let it go as the Spirit of God's quickness. Paul is writing, and he says, but this I say, and I'm reading, I just quoted out the King James verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, I believe it is, yes. But this I say, he was sowed sparingly. Verse 6. But this I say, he was sowed sparingly, shall reap also sparingly. And he was sowed bountifully, shall reap also bountifully. Now, what part of that you don't understand? What part of that you didn't get? Very simple. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Ain't hard. Don't need a theologian to try to explain it to you. It's a simple process of sowing and reaping. It's called the Genesis effect. As long as the earth remains, seed time, harvest time. The church has preached seed time for centuries and millenniums, but they have a problem with harvest time. They're afraid you get too much. Well, supposing you do, because he's the God of too much. He's got too much mercy. Too much grace. You know he's going to save somebody you don't like. You know he's going to do it. Because he's the God of the too much. When the Lord told me he's going to save my mother-in-law, I went, no! Don't do it! Let her go to hell! I said, you don't want to get rid of the... If you want to get rid of the devil, Jesus, send Irene to hell. He'll commit suicide in 2 weeks. That's Kathy's mama. We hated each other. Not no more. It was pure hatred. If I could have killed her without going to jail, I'd have shot her. We could not stand each other. Even after I was saved. I got saved and the Lord said, I'm going to assign you Irene. No! I'm like Cain. It's worse than I can bear. But yet she's born again today, and I'm probably her favorite son-in-law. But my point is, you see, the reason why we couldn't get together, because I sowed sparingly toward her in terms of feelings. I liked her daughter, but I didn't like her. You understand? Now, I was raised in the city, not New Orleans, New Orleans. Naturally New Orleans. And I was raised in the worst borough of New Orleans called Algiers, which is a suburb of New Orleans, with a bunch of Italians. All my friends are Italians. I love the Italian people. You do what you got to do. You understand? We take care of our own problem. You understand? Where's Fred? I don't know. Where's Fred's family? Mississippi River. We don't know. You do what you got to do. Now, watch it. And because we figured, well, you know, ain't nobody going to help us, so we're going to help ourselves. But you see, God, when he bestowed love upon me, he didn't give it to me sparingly. He gave it to me bountifully. So let's just quote the scripture, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he was sowed sparingly, shall reap also sparingly. He was sowed bountifully, shall reap also bountifully. Next verse. Every man according as he purposed in his heart. So let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity. Stop. Notice that's done before you get to church. You purposed in your heart before you get to church. That's why when you give, it's not grudgingly. You're waiting till somebody gets up and presents the offering. And you don't give because there's a need. Because it says every man according as he purposes his heart, so let him give, not grudging, nor necessity. Why would you give the need when God tells you not to give to need? He said you give to the purpose of what that need will do once it is met. The need is secondary. It's the purpose and the reason why God wants something done. Now, every man according to any purpose in his heart. Purpose affords you anchorage in the times of battle. If you're a man of purpose, you'll become a man of prayer. Out of purpose and prayer, you become a person of perception. Purpose, prayer, perception. Once you perceive, you go from purpose, prayer, perception, and power. Man, I could preach 4 hours right there. Every man according as he purpose, prayer, perceived, empowered. So let him give. Not grudgingly. No necessity, for God loveth, not like it. He loveth the cheerful giver. Why? Because you're a person of purpose. You're a person of prayer. You're a person of perception. You're a person of power. You've done that before you got to church, before Paul could ever say anything about any offering.
Right.
You're saying, Lord, today is the Sunday. What would thou have me to do concerning the finance that's been bestowed into my life? So that's why you're not grudgingly when someone talks about it. People say, preachers just want your money. Have you been to a mall lately or a store? They want your money too. How many times you seen all them sales? All them signs say, fall sale, fall sale, fall sale. It don't say fall free, fall free, fall free, does it? Oh, you don't get mad at them, but you get mad at the preacher for. Because it takes money to run the lights. It takes money to take care of this building. It takes money to pay staff. And if money's so bad, how come you're working for it? You see what I'm saying? So money not bad because you work for it. Now you think about that. So every man according as he purposed, prayed, perceived, and powered, so let him give. Now, once you get to the part of power, everybody like power. But you got to understand something. You must be superior to power instead of driven by power. See, that's why politicians mess up. That's why preachers mess up. They are driven by power instead of being overpower. You must understand that one time Jesus was standing there and somebody, they come to kill him. And Jesus said, do you know I can call more than 12 legions of angels to handle this situation? Now let me give you an idea how much power that is. One angel in the Bible knocked down 185,000 men. One. If 12 legions of angels would have showed up at the beck and call of Jesus, which he had that power, 20,400,000,000 men would have bit the dust in one lick.
Wow.
Now, the world has not known that kind of population. But because Jesus was superior to that power, instead of driven by that power, he went to the cross so you don't have to go. Did you get that? Now, you understand every man according as his purpose, prayed, perceived, empowered. So let him give. Not grudgingly. Nor of necessity, for God loveth. No, it's not done because of need. It's done to the purpose of what that need will do. See, God is, you don't move God with need. Because if he would be moved with need, he'd never get out of India. Especially Calcutta. Me and Kathy fed 27,000 children the other day in Calcutta. And you know, that didn't move God. The need is still there. He's moved by faith toward a need. See, the problem is we're focusing on the wrong thing, on the purpose instead of the secondary thing, the need. So every man according as his purpose, prayed, perceived, and power, so let him give, not grudging, nor necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Oh, and I like this part. And God is able. Next verse. I said, the Lord is able. I said, God is able. Lord, 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 Lord. Now I'm going to put a little black on you here, okay? I said, the Lord. I said, the Lord is able. I said, the Lord, 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 Lord is able. And look at the white people. White people can't do that, you know. White people, bringing in the sheep. Black people, doom, ch-t-pa, ch-t-pa. Hey! And God. Oh, Lord. And God is able. And God is what? I said, the Lord is able to make all grace. How much grace?
All.
How much grace?
All.
Abound toward who?
Me.
You. Now, why don't you have that? If God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always. Now, don't get mad at me if I'm blessed. I'm just being biblical. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficient. Stop. But there's a recession. I don't care. There's a depression. I don't care. All sufficiency. In all what? And all what? And all what? Why does the church world freak out over things when God said he gives you all sufficiency in all things? What's the definition of faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Stay on that verse right there. He says, now faith is the substance of what?
Things.
The evidence of what?
Things.
So things are not bad. If God said all sufficiency in all things. Things. Some of you ladies may want a real Louis Vuitton purse. I'm talking about real one. I ain't talking about one of them knockoffs that when you buy it, the guy go running around the corner because the cops are chasing him. I'm talking about a real Louis Vuitton or Chanel or Escada or Christian Dior or Prada, whatever you like. What's that? Or that's greed. Could be growth. Could be growth. Not greed. He said sufficiency in all. I'm talking about a purse that's so expensive that your husband pass out when he found out you bought it. Because I've learned something about a woman. A woman don't buy a purse. Woman wear a purse. You in trouble. She's writing that down. Oh, come on, stop. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That you always... Don't get mad at me if I'm not hurting financially. I'm living in always. Having all sufficiency. In all things. May abound to every good work. He is dispersed abroad. Next verse. He is dispersed abroad. So in other words, when you have all sufficiency in all things, you can disperse abroad. Think about that. Put that down a verse up there. He has dispersed abroad. Verse 9. God's ever make all great. As is written, he had dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Notice this. All sufficiency, all things dispersed abroad. Righteousness remaineth forever. But I don't feel righteous, Brother Jesse. Well, you don't feel married, but look at the woman you are. It's got nothing to do with your feeling. You've been listening to the wrong song. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Lord, yeah. He is dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Next verse. Now he which ministereth seed to the sower, not the keeper. Now he was meant seed to the sower, ministers bread for your food, multiplies your seed sown, increases the fruits of your righteousness. Next verse, being enriched. Yes. Or you can say being enriched. Yes. Oh, Lord. In every, there we go with that thing again. Yes. Now that old American song, it's your thing. Yes. Do what you want to do, Lord. In everything. Into all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Now watch this, ladies and gentlemen. God is trying to give you all things, all sufficiency, all righteousness, disbursement, blessed in the city, blessed. And the church will say, oh no, Jesus, I ain't worthy, Lord. I ain't worthy, Lord. You know that only works at church. That don't work nobody else in the world. If you go eat at a restaurant after service today, you and another couple or whatever, and you pour you all, and the person come and said, can I help you? We'd like to have a table for four. What's this? And you say, okay. All of a sudden, you stand there and you look and you see a table that you like. You say, excuse me, young man. We'd like to have that table over there. And that young man said, oh, no, no, no. You can't have that table. You ain't worthy. You say, what'd you say? You won't dance with me? You want some of this? Leapfrog, because I'm going to break your leg, sucker. I go to Harvest Church, I believe in healing, but I'm going to break your leg. Now, you will not put up with that whatsoever at all. Why do you put up with that at church? When God made you worthy. He made you worthy. Now, if y'all want to see how I look like when I get to heaven, I'm going to be built like him. That's all I'm going to say about that. Kathy said, I'm looking for that day, boy. Why do you put up with unworthiness at church when you won't put up with that any place, anywhere in the world? And when God made you worthy, think about that. Made you worthy because he was able. All he wanted to do was be a blessing to you. All he's ever wanted to do is help us. And the church said, no. And God said, why not? Well, we don't want to get greedy. You're not greedy. It isn't greed, it's growth.
Yes.
It's God saying, please, let me do what I want instead of you think I should do. I give you a prime example. My daughter, I have only one daughter and one granddaughter, and my daughter is a blessing of the Lord. Now, I have blessed that child. Ooh, Jesus. Now, when she first got married, they wanted a house. All right? Now, you know, when you first get married, you get a house, you get a new car and a house, you strap pretty good. I mean, you know, you're paying a house note and a car note, you ain't got much money. Well, me and Kathy said, we want to buy them a house gift. But we didn't know what it was. We didn't know what they wanted. And naturally, when you buy a gift, you want to give them something they want. You know, you don't want some of that stuff they throw in the attic, you know. You know, they go, thank you. You know, that kind of stuff. So I said, well, if we listen, they may say something. So we walk into the house. She said, Daddy, you like the house? I said, oh, Jody, this is a beautiful house. She said, you really like it, Daddy? I said, oh, Jody, this is a beautiful home. God has truly blessed you. And she said, Dad, I tell you what, I want to show you something. And she shows, I don't know if you have this magazine here in the UK called Architectural Digest. It's a beautiful magazine. It's really classy magazine. She flips the pages all over, and she sees this beautiful Persian Oriental rug runner. She said, now, Dad, me and Dad don't have the money now, but, you know, we get enough money, we're going to buy that rug, and we're going to put it in our foyer, you know, for you to walk on it. And I thought, now, you see, when you've been married a long time, you don't have to talk to each other. You just know. I did this. I looked at Kathy. So I knew. So I said this. I said, Jody, why don't you go ahead and order that rug and just charge it to me, and we're going to give that to you as a house gift. Jody goes, oh, no, Daddy. I can't let you do that, Daddy. Daddy, you know how much money that rug costs? I can't let you do that. I said, okay. She didn't ask me for the rug. The devil done told her that she said that for me to buy the rug. So I just got my car and went home. I was just wanting to buy a rug. Couldn't do it. Wouldn't let me have it. All sufficiency. All things. I'm El Shaddai. I'm the dad that's more than enough. Well, about 4 months later, I stopped by her house. I was flying out to a meeting. And I said, hey, Jody. She said, hey, Daddy. I said, what are you doing with sheets on the window? Aren't you going to get some drapes? How many of y'all ever had to put sheets on a window? You ain't got no money, you know. She said, Dad, you know how much drapes cost? Cost a lot of money for window treatments, drapes, and things of that nature. I said, Jody, why don't you call Mr. Signorelli? That's a draper man in the draper business in New Orleans. I said, and have him come measure your windows, pick your fabric, do all your stuff, and do all your windows in your whole house, and send me the bill. Oh, no, Daddy. I can't let you do it. You know how much one window would cost? I can't let you do that. I said, okay. Got my car, drove to the airport, flew out and preached the gospel. She didn't ask me for the drapes. I'm her father. I'm just trying to be a blessing to her. She didn't ask me. 6 months went by. 6 months. And I was flying in, I think, from Chicago or something. And Jody and Ed called Kathy. She said, Mom, she said, listen, we want to take you and Daddy out to dinner tonight. And tell Daddy we pay it. I don't want him paying. We pay it. No, that ain't going to work. I'm the dad. We're going to do that, you know. But she said, well, he might be real tired. He may not be able to. When he comes in, he should be in the next 30 minutes or so. I'll let you know. I'll call you. She said, well, let us know. So I flew in. So when I walked in, Kathy said, Eddie and Jody wants to take us to dinner tonight. And they're paying. I said, they ain't paying. I'll take care of that. She said, you're not too tired? I said, no, we'll go get something to eat. It'd be great. So Kathy calls up Jody and says, yeah. She said, well, Dad, tell Daddy we'll pick y'all up in our car. Now, they had that new car and their new house, okay? I think it was called an Infiniti. Am I right? Something like that. An Infiniti car. A nice car. Make a long story short, they picked me up. Now, I had seen the car, but I never sat in it. Now, I'm sitting in the back seat, and it's all leather, tufted, beautiful car. I said, Jody, Ed, this is a nice car. You really like it? Daddy, I tell you, we love this car, Daddy. We ain't gonna never buy another car. You know, it's your first car, so you think about it. Like, we ain't never gonna buy another car ever. Oh, we just love this car. I said, well, I'll tell you what, this is a pretty car. And it's very comfortable. I'm sitting in the back. We're going to a restaurant. We stopped at a red light. I said, Jody, Ed, where did y'all finance this car? She said, right there at the bank. The bank happened to be on the corner. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, why don't you drive over to that bank and I'll just pay off your car? She said, let the Lord lead you, Daddy. Just let the Lord. Hey! Hey! Just let the Lord lead you, Daddy. Come on, Daddy. All sufficiency in all things. So in 4 minutes, the car is paid off. And then Jody says, hey, Dad, is that rug and curtain deal still out there? Now, here's the sad part. I said, Jody, that money has been sitting in a bank for 6 months waiting to be given to you, but you wouldn't receive it. You were choking. Because you thought that I thought you said that about the rug to make me go buy it for you. When it had nothing to do with it. It's being enriched in everything to all bountiful. She delayed the blessing 6 months. The body of Christ has delayed the blessings over 2,000 years. And all God want to do. Oh, no, that's greed. No, that's greed. What you going to do when you get to heaven? What you going to do when you get to heaven? And you walking in, there's gold streets. Pearly gates, diamond barrel, jasper, onyx, ruby. What are you going to tell Jesus? No, no, Jesus. It ain't right, Jesus. He's going to tell you, shut up, fool. Get in the house. Watch this. Because in my Father's house are many what?
Mansions.
Many what?
Mansions.
Many what?
Mansions.
Many what?
Mansions.
Oh, but that's only when you get to heaven. Oh, really? Well, let's go to the most famous prayer in the Bible that's prayed almost every day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? 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 As it is, where? How come you not living in a mansion? Now think about that. I'll tell you why. You're afraid somebody might say something about you. Why don't you tell them you're living biblically, not lavishly? Because if you don't learn this here, when you get to heaven, you're going to have to go to school. Because you don't know how to act in a mansion. You know how to act in a trailer, a duplex. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying is, there's nothing wrong with living like that. That's not the issue. But God said his grace, all sufficiency in all things. That's greed. No, that's scripture. That's growth. Well, whenever the Lord get ready, yo mama. What do you mean the Lord get ready? He been ready for a long time. Is your mama bad in England? I don't know. Praise the Lord. He's been ready. How long? When will we believe the word of God instead of personal experience? I tried that and it didn't work. That's why you tried it. I didn't try to come to Harvest. I did. Now, if I would have tried to come to Harvest, I'd have drove and we still wouldn't be here. Because it's very confusing to drive in London on the wrong side of the road. You got to have some faith when you go around a roundabout because you don't know what's going to happen in the middle of it. And you know what? I've been in London 3 days and I can't hardly find anybody speak English. I got people, I hear people speaking Spanish, they speak in Arabic, speak in Farsi, they speak in, and I'm just standing there and they go, and even some Japanese, you know, all kinds of stuff. And I'm thinking, is this England? Is this England? Hear people say, "By Joe, I believe I've got it." I said, "God, what?" God is able. And the Lord is able. And when you believe and know in whom you have believed that he's able, get ready, son. It has nothing to do with the economy. And let's get off of the money end of it. Let's talk to the spiritual end of it. Lord, I just hadn't felt your presence. Well, the natural man doesn't feel his presence. Your flesh is dead, or supposed to be. I'm crucified with Christ.
Amen.
So what does it got to do with how I feel it? I'm living out of my spirit through a soul clothed in a body. Your body is just an earth suit. And it changes all the time. Mark my words, it does. Let me make an announcement to all the young people. You think that girl good looking? Oh, yeah, man. You think she's a fox, huh? Yeah. Let me give you some wisdom. Take pictures. Because it's going to fall down, buddy. It's going to fall down. One day that beautiful girl going to say bye, honey, in the bottom of her arm. That's a flopping in the breeze. It's going to fall down, baby. She going to get that cellulite on her butt. Oh, honey, do you see any bumps? Do you see any bumps? Oh, no, that's just a little hail damage. That's all that is right there. He going to fix that. You didn't marry her body. You married her. Shout, ladies. I just set you free. Your body will age. But if you come to America, we can suck it up and tie it behind your head. Make you look like you've been through a hurricane, Lord Jesus. First time I saw George Myers, I went, what happened? Nothing wrong with that. Hey, that's good. Benny, my good friend, how did that hair grow? Nothing wrong with that. Hey, if you don't have any teeth, you get some false teeth, don't you? You don't want to be gumming people to death. So go get you some teeth. I told that to Steve Brock the other day. He was with me on TV, and I said, Steve, what happened to your hair? He said, I left it home. I said, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Who cares? If you can make yourself look better, look better. Do you remember when a sleeveless, I don't know if y'all, maybe not in England because y'all stay kind of cold, a sleeveless dress was a sin? A woman couldn't walk around, you know, sleeve. How many, anybody remember that? Oh, Lord, man. My God, if an armpit turns you on, you got a demon inside of you. You a suck. I ain't never seen a woman's armpit go, oh! I mean, it's an armpit, man. It ought to give you a hint, a pit. You know what I'm saying? But God is able to make all great. Some of y'all wanting to laugh so bad, you're going, well, you're the Church of England. I was watching a Royal Wedding the other day. What's her name? Prince Harry. No, not Harry. What's his name? Prince William and Kate or Catherine. And I was watching that Reverend, very, 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 very Reverend Bishop, Dr. Dale Westminster. The way he would talk in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I thought, does he know the Father? Does he know the Son? Does he know the Holy Ghost? Do you know him? Why are you so happy in this life? And God is able to make all grace abound. Now, nobody likes trouble. We came through Hurricane Katrina. You heard about that five years ago now. That was terrible, boy. It wasn't easy. If you've never been in one of those things, you don't want to be in that. And if you don't believe in speaking tongues, you will on the second round, I'll tell you that much. Nobody liked it. That's not the issue. But God was able. And I had preachers come up to me and say, oh, you believe that faith stuff. You probably won't get your church destroyed. And I didn't get destroyed. I ain't lost nothing. theirs were destroyed. And I walked up to them. I said, thank you for believing with me. I don't mean that to be rude, but my God, man. Me and Kathy pleaded the blood of Jesus and told the devil, come here, son, come here. Tell you something, devil. You see this stuff? You touch my stuff? If I catch the thief, you got to return it sevenfold. You going to pay me seven times? You going to pay me? I serve a Jewish God. You going to pay me? You are going to pay me. And you're going to give me more than insurance money. Hang that up. I'm going to get the insurance money. But you're going to pay me seven times, and I'm getting your furniture too. The subs of your house. Boy, here come Hurricane Katrina. Man, I had a 140-mile-an-hour wind in my backyard. My own neighbor is 50 foot from me in the backyard, blowing his roof off, I mean, knocking everything down. Nothing on my house. Nothing. Zero. I'm 50 foot. 50 foot from him. They start coming toward my ministry. And he went, oh, stop. That's Jesse's ministry. Back up, Lord. Don't touch that. He going to make us pay it seven times. You doggone right. Why? Because God said it. See, you can get too expensive to be messed with. Devil will say, man, don't touch them people's money, man, because they'll make us pay off. How do you know that works? Let me help you. You see, the reason why people can't defeat the devil, because they're trying to use first heaven power against second heaven. You got to understand, where does God live? The third heaven. Paul said, I want the third heaven. Now watch the third heaven. The second heaven is where Satan lived, the principalities and powers of the air. The first heaven is where you live here. So you're trying to destroy the second heaven with first heaven power. But God sent someone from the third heaven to the first heaven so you could use that power to destroy the second heaven. Can't you get that? Do you understand? It came from the third heaven. Jesus came from the third heaven to the first heaven, gave you the power of the third heaven to destroy the second heaven. Principalities and powers. I had a man say that the other day. He said, you see that woman? She's just the devil. I said, no, she's not. I said, principalities work through personalities. She's not demon possessed. She's just, the devil just motivating her. A principality will work through a personality. Just that simple. I said, now what you're trying to do is get rid of the person. Leave her alone. Get rid of the principality. Leave the personality alone. Do you see that? But you can't do any of that unless you use third heaven power. Third heaven power giving the first heaven people to destroy second heaven power. Spiritual rulers, principality, power, spiritual rulers. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. And if you do it the way God says to do it, people are going to get mad at you. Who do you think you are? I've had more people say, who do you think you are? I said, sit your ugly self down. Because in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was not form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord God moved upon the waters, and God said, let's make Jesse. Hey, in our image, in our life. How many of y'all want to know what God looks like? Hold your hand up. Let me show you. Am I shocking you? I am made in his image. I know you're thinking he's a bit short, but hey, he had to spread himself around to a lot of people. In his image and in his likeness. And God is able. To make all grace, unmerited favor, abound toward you. My God, grace running at me at 100 miles an hour. Woo. That you having always, all sufficient, in all things. Ain't gonna never run out of things. That shocks some people. God's gonna bless him and make them mad as a hornet. I mean, I'm on, ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you an honor. I have been totally debt-free since 1982. Wow. Now, I want you to listen to me. You understand? We debt-free. Been debt-free. Lord. I'm on today, this Sunday, I will preach today to over 2.5 billion people today. I'm on over 2,700 television stations across America and the world. Some of them are $50,000 a week, one shot, times 52. Now, not all of them are like that. So you figure out how much money it is. That's in the millions and the millions and the millions. And yet my ministry is totally, completely debt-free, and my television bill is paid for 1 year in advance. Wow. Now, watch this. How did you do that? God is able. One time, Brother Kenneth Copeland, let me just show what he did. I was sitting, he said, Jesse, I don't talk to you. I said, yeah. He said, can I use your book for a minute? Thank you, ma'am. He says, Jesse, what do you do when you get those big television bills? Oh, I said, that's easy, Brother Copeland. Jesus, you got mail. Oh, that's not my bill. He didn't ask me to pay for it. He asked me to believe for it.
Amen.
See, that's the problem with ministers, Paul.
Yes,
they get under pressure. Man, I got to build a building. And they're trying to figure out how they're going to pay for it. No, that ain't your job to pay for it. That's why you get under stress.
Yes.
It's your job to believe for it. And you give. It's through your seed that the harvest comes. I personally believe in the hundredfold. Some people don't. Why do you believe in that hundredfold? Well, two reasons. One, it's in red. Jesus said it. And number two, I need it.
Amen.
Kathy's an expensive woman. And ain't nothing wrong with that. Because she was raised poor as a church rat. Why is a church rat poorer than a regular rat? I don't know. Both of us were poor. But not we ain't poor no more.
Amen.
Kathy was walking around London, man. She just, oh, yes. And she looked at me and she said, come walk with me tomorrow. And I went, she said, do you want anything? And without sounding prideful or arrogant, we could have bought anything we wanted in that store. Anything. Because God was able. I said, no, I don't see nothing I really want. We just walked around trying to find something to eat, but couldn't find anybody speaking English. We finally found one guy, and he must be from Yorkshire. I couldn't understand a word he was saying. One time we were traveling somewhere, and we missed the street, and we said, my director then before Martin, now he was born in Yorkshire, I think. Watch this now. So he's talking to somebody from Yorkshire, okay? He said, how do I get the census? The guy said, well, you turn back on yourself. I said, what did he say? You turn back on yourself. How you turn back on yourself? What is he talking about, turning back on yourself? And I asked Tony, and he goes, I don't know neither. I said, Tony, we in trouble here. If you don't know I don't know. But you know, God saw us through. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Well, Brother Jay, you ever had any hard times? Didn't notice it. Oh, I know they came. Paid no attention to it. Well, suppose you don't have money. Suppose you don't have enough money to eat. Well, then I'll come to this church and fast for 2 or 3 days with that prophet. Now, you see, I just make the devil mad as a hornet. Lord, he don't even care if he's hungry. No, I refuse to care. He said, casting all your care upon him. Why? Why does he tell you not to care? Because care is a form of pride. You saying God can't handle your business, so you're going to have to worry about it for him. That's a form of pride, Paul. When he said, casting all your care upon him. See, care is a form of pride. Lord, Lord, you can't handle this situation, so give it back to him. Let me worry about it, and I'm going to try to make it work. This is good stuff, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to buy the tape myself. But you see, I go back to that verse 8, and God is able. So I could actually quote the whole thing. But this I say, he was so expanded, should reap also expanded. He was so bountiful, should reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose, prayed, perceived, and power. So let him give, not grudging on necessity. For God loves the cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. He has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. And he was ministered seed to the sower, ministered bread for your food, multiplied your seed, sown the creatures, the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. In other words, if it's not in you, it cannot come out of you. Now, and I spoke real fast, and I know that. It's not memorization.
Right.
No. It's knowing.
Yes.
When Kathy goes shopping, I know she's going to spend money. She's supposed to. Because come June the 6th of this year, we'll be married 41 years. Now watch it. And both of them were married. We both of them were Catholic people. We're from New Orleans. You got to be Catholic at least once. It just is, you know. So we were married to Holy Rosary Catholic Church. And I remember saying something on an altar to a priest. Do you take this woman? I said, that's what I'm trying to do. To be your lawful wedded wife. He made me say all kind of stuff. He bound me with a knot that could not be broken. So I told her, I said, anything you do, I'll back it. So she keeps my back, I keep her back. Just that simple. Pretty simple. I had a person tell me the other day, I've fallen out of love. What should I do? I said, fall back in.
Yes.
If you fall out, you fall in.
Yes.
Well, I don't feel it. That's your problem.
Yes.
Well, she's changed so much. Look at yourself. Excuse me. Tell me somebody that hadn't changed. Tell me somebody that hadn't changed in life. You're going to change. But so, you should have seen me when I was young. I was a good-looking boy. I had a body, sir. I had a six-pack. I got a keg now. But I had a six-pack. I was ripped. I'd go to the beach. Kathy would say, Jesse, put your shirt on. Everybody looking at you. I mean, you couldn't grab my skin. Today we go to the beach. Jesse, don't take that shirt off. That's okay. My Lord. Everything's falling down. I think I need a bra now. Lord. I mean, look at it. Wait. It's loose. It's terrible. But it didn't make any difference. Kathy can't even see it. She's getting older. God is able. And if he's able, he's going to do what he said. How long does it take? You in a hurry? Faith and hurry are incompatible. All you do is call those things to be not as though they were. If you want to know God's job, there's two things God, what God is or what God does is call those things to be not as though they were. Now, what God is the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. And against such, there is no law. You notice there's no law against God. Why? Because he's love, joy, peace, long suffering, mercy, grace, temperance, faith. But what he does is call those things to be not as though they were. So what that priest made me say almost 41 years ago is call those things with be not as though they were. Do you take this one, be your love for? Do you swear, promise to honor her, cherish her, and till death do you part? See, he was making me say what God says. And I said, yes, yeah, I got it. Now, think about it at a wedding. Think when Prince William and Kate. And he says, William, something, Louis, you know, he has a bunch of names there. Do you take Kate to be your lawful wedded wife? And if William would have said, I'll try. I'll give it my best shot. I'm pretty sure the queen would have got up and said, let's sit down. You got to think a little bit here. No, you make a decision. Because see, a decision makes a choice and a discussion. But a discussion makes a speech. You don't need that. You need a decision. What am I going to do? Well, I decided I'm going to believe the word of God. Well, suppose it don't work. Well, suppose it does. What you going to do if it don't? What you going to do if it does? Now, let me close out with this. If you learn to doubt your doubts, you won't be a doubter no more because your doubts have been doubted because you've learned to doubt your doubts. The only thing the devil can use against you is doubt. So when he throws doubt in your mind, doubt it. So the devil says, he puts doubt in your mind and says, I doubt that. The devil says, you can't doubt that. I said, I doubt your doubt. No, I'm the one with the doubt. Yeah, I doubt it. No, I doubt your doubt. Now, the devil gets confused easily because he's the author of confusion. He gets confused. So he's going to go start, he's going to talk to other devils. Listen, I put some doubt in his mind and he doubted it. What'd you do? I put the doubt in his mind and he doubted. You mean he doubted the doubt? Yeah, that's exactly what he doubted. What should I do? Man, I don't know. I doubted myself. I don't. Let me slow down. If you learn to doubt your doubts, you won't be a doubter no more because your doubts have been doubted. And that's all he's got. That's all he's got. He has nothing else. Nothing. Nothing. And yet the church world has made him so big. He's only big in the flesh. But if you crucify your flesh daily instead of Sunday, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I've had preachers come up to me and say, you've never messed up? In 33 years of full-time ministry, I've never had a scandal. My ministry is sexually pure. It's financially pure. He said, you mean you never messed up? No. How'd you do that? I'm saved.
Right.
I got saved, fool. What's the matter with you? I don't look at a woman as a sexual object to be conquered. And I ain't the ugliest man in the world. I get hit on every once in a while. Can you believe it? They think I got money. They right. But that ain't my money. That's Kathy's money. And she's not giving it to a hussy. No. It's pretty simple. It's so easy to tell the devil no. So simple. You tell everybody else no. Just tell him no. What part of that you didn't understand? That's so simple. Oh, you make it is simple. No, not doing that. No. I'll tell you one more story. Before, I've owned 3 jets. And don't get mad at me. It ain't my fault. People get mad at me because I have a jet. I just fly over the house and wave by. I ain't got time for foolishness. And I don't wave like this. No, I'll give them the Queen's wave. And they think, I don't think you ought to have that jet. I don't think I asked you. Ain't none of your business. You didn't pay for it. Don't shout me down. All it is transportation. It holds my body like this pulpit's holding this Bible. Well, why don't you fly commercial? Because they can't fly my schedule. I went to Delta Airlines. I went. I said, can you fly Continental, all these, Virgin, all these. Can you fly this schedule? Oh, no, sir. But we can charter a jet for you. Oh, but then why would I want to pay for your jet? Why don't I pay for my jet? And then when I finish using it, I sell it and get all my money back. I serve a Jewish God. I ain't stupid. I love the Jewish people. They don't pay retail on nothing. And they shouldn't. Retail's for Gentiles. Oh, if you say, if you're not a Gentile. I lost you right there. You went, if you born again, you're not a Gentile. You're part of the family. He made you an offer you couldn't refuse. And nobody messed with the family. You understand? Because God is able. So I decided the purpose in my heart. That's done before I got to church. So every time we go, we look forward to giving. Because see, it's done before we get to church to hear about the need, the purpose of what the... So in other words, let me say this next Sunday. If you have a purpose in your heart to be a blessing to your church, then when Paul gets up or whoever gets up and he presents a project or a need, you go, oh, that's why that was so strong on me. Because you don't give to the need, you give to the purpose of what it will do once it is met. That's why it comes on you. And then God is able to give you all sufficiency in all things, because you've passed the money test. I'll say one more thing. It was just so funny. We finally found a place to eat. So we ordered stuff, and they said, you want some mushy peas? Mushy peas? Anything mushy, I ain't too crazy about. You know, what do you mean mushy peas? Well, you ordered some fish and chips that comes with mushy peas. I said, well, just help yourself, whatever you think. I don't know. So this guy, you know, he gets all our food. And the things we understood were sourdough bread and all that kind of stuff, you know. Because y'all have so many different restaurants. But they got some wild stuff. You got to speak in tongues just to understand what's going on, you know. And I noticed when I got my bill, it said 12.3, 12.5, discretionary tip service charge. I thought, boy, is he cutting himself short? 12.5. Anybody can live on 12.5 service charge. I said, this? And I didn't have to do it if I didn't want. Discretionary. I believe that's what that means. Is that correct? I said, no, let's bless the guy. He couldn't believe it. He goes, oh. Oh. Now, Kathy didn't want to walk back to the hotel. She said, let's get a cab. I like them London cabs. Get it in. We said, what was the hotel we was in? We fly. The Metropolitan Hilton, something, whatever. We get in the cab. I said, how much I owe you? £5 and a few pence. Something like that. Okay, what's that? £6. I said, well, here's £10. Really? Really? I said, Well, it's only 4 pounds, for God's sake. Are you serious? Well, yes. Now, if I wanted to show off, I'd put the money in my pocket. But the man's working for a living. I'm working for a giving. See? That's different. And I know Jesse's going to be blessed if God is able. I came out of a church that day, and a lady slapped a 50-pound note in my hand. She said, go buy something for Kathy. Okay. I thought, 50 pounds. And I found out that's the biggest note y'all print. Y'all don't have a 100-pound note? How about a 10,000-pound note? What's the matter? You know, and I thought, what's that nice? I don't know who she is. She was so kind. So I said, well, here you go, Gather. Whatever you want. It doesn't make any difference to me. Now, I'm not bragging on that. He said, well, how do you just know it's going to happen? Because God is able. I've had some of the biggest ministers in the country say, I don't see how you go to some of the churches you go. Huh? I said, let me ask you a question. Do you have financial trouble? Oh, yeah. That's your problem. Paul, did I ask you for any money? I give no one no expenses. It cost me 30,000 pounds to fly that jet here. I don't care. 30,000 pounds. It don't mean, I didn't pay for it. The Lord does that. Oh, and when I receive offerings like I normally do, I'm not trying to get it. Budgets cost you something. Vision brings you something. I want to deal with vision. Vision, boy. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I was with Benny Hinton maybe 3 years ago on his television program. You know, Benny's funny. He said, how do you keep these partners so long? I said, well, I never let them forget what we've done. I always tell them what we're doing, and I tell them what we're going to do. People must be and want to be informed. So I inform them with the word of God. Well, that can't work. Well, then you just call God a liar. God said it could work. So if you come to my ministry in New Orleans, it's beautiful. It's all paid cash for. It's gorgeous. Banks freak out. I'm not bragging on banks. Just go, you mean you're not going to borrow money? No, nothing wrong borrowing money. But I read something in here that says, owe no man anything but to love him. Now, wait. Now, it's not a sin to borrow money. I don't want you to misunderstand, because God made Abraham a lender. So if borrowing was a sin, he'd have never made Abraham a lender. Somebody had to borrow it, right? But there's another level. Owe no man anything but to love him. You can't pay off the debt of love. You're going to love people. It has nothing to do with right or wrong. You just got to love them. I didn't say you have to like them. That's nice. See, Jesus loved people, but he did not like the Pharisee. He said, you snake, you hypocrite, you viper. He didn't like them, but he went to the cross and died for them because he loved them. There's a difference between love and life. So I began to, they said, but you, that's millions and millions and millions. Yeah, God ain't broke. And they look at you like, you mean you're going to pay this television bill? Yeah, it's your money, isn't it? They just can't get over that. And you keep telling them. Boy, they said, that gentleman got some faith. No, it has nothing to do with my faith. It has to do with what God said. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I believe that verse like I believe John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, because the same person said it. It's exactly the same person saying it. You don't struggle with John 3:16. Well, why would you struggle with 2 Corinthians 9:8? It's the same person talking. Don't complicate this. Just believe. Be like a child. Okay. That's one thing. If you ever meet my daughter, this is my last closing. If you ever meet my daughter, she'll tell you this. If my daddy ever tell you something, you can take it to the bank. He's going to do what he said. Oh, yeah, she just went. And sometimes her and Kathy put me in a corner to make me say something. You said it. You said it. Because years ago when I started in the ministry, I keep all my old Bibles, Paula. I wear out Bibles, you know. And I looked at one of my first Bible I had back in 1978 when I went in full-time ministry. I preached my first message in 1976. And I wrote on the first front page of the Bible, I want my word to be like God's word. And I've never departed from that. You see, and I said, Lord, I'm going to keep my word. He said, I'm going to keep my word. He said, Jesse, we're going to get along very well. Did you enjoy it this morning? Well, praise the Lord. Well, what? What's the title of this message? Put whatever you want on it. He just told me what to say. I would say God is able. Or you want to back it up, able is God. Or all sufficiency in all things. Think about that. Or turn back on yourself. Yeah, that's good. That's amazing to me. In just a minute, we're going to receive an offering for this ministry. And I want you to look at me. Don't give me anything.